Thank you for listening to a message from the Manhattan Church of Christ. The following sermon was recorded during our Sunday morning worship service. The notes for this sermon are available on our website at www.manhattanchurch.org/sermon-notes. We hope that this message will be helpful to you and encourage you to explore the Word of God. And now, this week's message.
Starting for the next 10 weeks, we're going to have Rachel Shad as our ministry intern. Rachel is just finished her first year in her MDiv program at Princeton Seminary, and she's doing the different model. She's doing 10 intensive weeks, so she's with us for 10 weeks working full-time, starting now. So she'll be here through the end of July. Rachel has never lived in New York before. Rachel is from, is it Fort Collins? Fort Collins, Colorado. And we have some, it's New York City. You've got people from everywhere. She's from Fort Collins, Colorado. She graduated from Abilene Christian University last year and has been at Princeton, just did her first year. She's had positions, ministry positions in churches before, but primarily working with the youth, student ministries. And she's going to do a variety of different things here for us. Really, really glad to have Rachel. And Rachel's going to be preaching for us today. Is it the first time you've ever preached on this? First time she's ever preached for a Sunday morning service. And I told her, that this is the most supportive congregation she could ever preach for her first Sunday service. So it's a really good place to start. So I am really, really grateful to have Rachel. Lord, I pray for Rachel. I am excited for her as she starts this journey. And I pray your blessings on her. I pray that she will just have an openness of spirit, that she can learn what you want her to learn. And I pray that we can be instruments in this congregation, instruments in her education and in her spiritual formation. And I pray that you will use her in your service. We live in a world that is deeply hurting and deeply in need of healing and deeply in need of the gospel. So I pray that both of them will have many opportunities to courageously and boldly proclaim your gospel in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'll be reading from Genesis. Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife that I may go into her, for my time is completed." So Laban gathered together all the people of the place and made a feast. But in the evening, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah to be her maid. When morning came, it was Leah. And Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Did I not serve with you for Rachel? Why then have you deceived me?" Laban said, "This is not done in our country, giving the younger before the firstborn. Complete the week of this one, and we will give you the other also in return for serving me another 7 years." Jacob did so and completed her week. Then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel as a wife. Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel to be her maid. So Jacob went into Rachel also, and he loved Rachel more than Leah. He served Laban for another 7 years. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Leah conceived and bore a son, and she named him Reuben, for she said, "Because the Lord has looked on my affliction, surely now my husband will love me." She conceived again and bore a son and said, "Because the Lord has heard that I am hated, he has also given me this son." And she named him Simeon. Again, she conceived and bore a son and said, "Now this time my husband will be joined to me because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore, he was named Levi. She conceived again and bore a son and said, "This time I will praise the Lord." Therefore, she named him Judah. Then she ceased bearing.
Good morning again, church. I had a surprise visit earlier that I didn't know was happening. But as Amy said, I'm very excited to be here both today and this entire summer of 10 short weeks to be serving y'all. And happy Mother's Day. I know that Mother's Day is a very busy day, and I really appreciated Amy's remark of how hard Mother's Day can sometimes be. Now, in my family growing up, Mother's Day is the absolute best excuse to get some good brunch food. We used to have this tradition where my sister, my mom, and I would gather together, sit around a table covered with yummy breakfast food, and just share our favorite stories about our family and about our mom. And I'm sure many of you relate to the joy in this tradition, for as humans, we all love to tell stories. Whether it be at home, in the living room, on the train with a stranger, or around a table on Mother's Day. Why? Because our stories are important to us. They're this special way of explaining or even showing who we are and where we have come from. They explain with excitement those battle scars we might have. They help give color to our character or our personality. And above all, our stories witness to how God has worked in our lives. We believe our stories are important. And the Bible is full of important stories. Looking specifically at the book of Genesis, we have all these narratives about the ancestors of God's chosen people, Israel. We have Noah with the flood, Abraham and Sarah with their "oops, I almost sacrificed our son" story. We have Isaac and Rebekah who just kept fighting about who their favorite child was. All these stories give testimony to God being present and God working with his people, even among the most messiest parts of life. And in Genesis 29, we have another pretty messy story about Jacob, Rachel, and Leah. Now, I know the scripture reading we gave today started in verse 21, so let me give you a brief synopsis of what's been happening so far in chapter 29. It starts with your basic love story. Jacob is talking to some men at a well. He sees a really pretty girl named Rachel and is immediately smitten. He kisses her, then he asks her father, Laban, to marry her. And they come to this agreement that Jacob will work 7 whole years so he can marry Rachel. But Jacob was so in love that he didn't mind. In verse 20, it says, "So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed but a few days for him because of the love he had for her." How romantic. Now, this love story is presumably nearing its end when we start in verse 21 and 22. The wedding day comes. They have this big celebration. Everything is great. The husband and wife go to bed together until the next morning when Jacob wakes up to find out his wife, who, plot twist, is not Rachel. It's her sister Leah. I'm pretty sure this is not what they meant by happily ever after in those storybooks. So after Jacob confronts Laban, they end up striking a new deal. He can still marry Rachel, but he has to work another 7 years for Laban. Jacob agrees, and he marries Rachel. Finally, they get the ending to their love story. But what about Leah? How now is she supposed to fit in? Does she get a story? Today we're going to walk through the story of Leah thinking about this question. How do we have faith when we feel like we have no story? Now, the text doesn't say how involved Leah was in the deception with her father regarding this whole wedding night swap, but regardless, she is now in a very difficult circumstance. She's married to a man who loves her sister more than her, which additionally means she holds little status or importance in Jacob's household. Leah knows she is unloved, and most likely she feels as if she has no purpose. But in verse 30 of chapter 29, it says, "The Lord sees Leah." And the Lord sees Leah in her suffering. And we must understand that there's something special about the Lord seeing Leah here. Now, there are a few ways that the verb to see, or in Hebrew, ra'ah, is used in the Old Testament. One of the obvious physical act of seeing something, for example, Noah saw the dry land. Moses saw the burning bush. Yet when God is the subject, when God sees, it holds more power. The Lord sees not only the physical person, but also grasps the condition they are in. God knows all the feelings and emotions that that person is carrying with them. It's kind of like that phrase, "I don't feel like I'm being seen," or "so-and-so really sees me for who I am." We are meaning more than just physically being seen. We're being understood. And this verse 30 tells us that God sees and God understands. And this is an important characteristic of God throughout the entire Bible. From the beginning, the Lord is present with creation and his people, truly seeing them in whatever state they may be, whether he's oppressed, afflicted, disobedient, lamenting, or even praising. In all these times when the Lord sees his people, the Lord also intervenes. And that is what happens in verse 31 with Leah. The Lord is present with her and sees that she is unloved and intervenes by blessing her with a child. In verse 32, it says, Leah conceived and bore a son, and she names him Reuben, for she said, because the Lord has looked on my affliction, surely now my husband will love me. Through the act of naming her child, she recognizes that the Lord has seen her, but she seems to think this blessing is to get her husband to finally love her. Now, this response might be better explained when thinking about the context of this scripture. For women in ancient Near Eastern culture, motherhood was very important. For bearing children was one of the ways women could establish their prominence both within society and within their household. In a way, childrearing was a woman's protection to always have a place in her home. And Leah's initial response matches this cultural expectation. She thought God was blessing her with a child so she could be delivered from this unloved status and gain preference with her husband and in her household. For she thought then she would have a purpose. Leah so badly wanted a story like Jacob and Rachel's. But this did not happen with the first child. Leah still felt unloved, and the Bible says she was even hated. And again, the Lord responds by blessing her with another child, Simeon, and another child, Levi. And each time, the naming of these children is still focused on Leah's hope for love and status in her marriage. Each time, Leah seems to be missing something. For Leah thought that God must be intervening so that she could finally be noticed and loved in her household and by her husband. Yet as we read the stories throughout Scripture about the Lord seeing his people and intervening, God seems to do it in the most unexpected ways. For example, in Exodus, God saw that the Israelites were being oppressed in Egypt, and God intervenes and delivers them, but not in the way they expected. They thought they would be delivered into triumph and power, but instead they were sent into the wilderness. It was in the wilderness that they were transformed into God's holy people. And again in the New Testament, God sees the hopes of his people and their desire for a Messiah to come. And when Jesus came, they thought he would establish this powerful earthly kingdom for them. But instead, their Savior was nailed to a cross. And while it was not what they had expected, it was through that crucifixion that the Lord truly saved his people. You see, God sees the circumstances of his people, and God intervenes. But God does it in the most unexpected and even better ways than we can imagine. And in verse 35, God blesses Leah with a fourth child. But with this fourth child, something changed. But it wasn't Leah's situation. She was still married to Jacob. She was still unloved by him. She still had lower status than Rachel in the household. Up until now, Leah seemed to misunderstand what God was doing. While she already recognized that the Lord had seen her affliction, she expected God to intervene in this certain way. Leah's hope was still invested in gaining love from her husband, for she thought that this must be the only way she can find purpose in a story. But here, she makes no mention of this hope. Instead, she says, "This time, I will praise the Lord." And she names her son Judah. Leah's faith changed. It was no longer impeded by her own expectations of how she should and would be redeemed. For God blessed Leah with children not to redeem her from a loveless marriage, but to give her faith. Faith that trusts that even though it seemed like her situation wasn't changing, God had seen her. God was intervening. God was giving her a story. And because of this faith, Leah now praised. And we look at the greater story of God's plan of salvation unfolding in the Bible, God truly did give Leah a story. Out of her story comes these first four sons in Genesis 29, who later become the part of the 12 tribes of Israel. From her son Levi came the great priesthood of Israel, the Levites. And most importantly, from her son Judah came God's servant David and the great Davidic monarchy, which in turn became the family line of Jesus. You see, Leah's story became part of one of God's greatest love stories to humanity, the story of Jesus. Leah was given her own story, and her story mattered. But Leah in Genesis 29 didn't have any clue that any of that was happening. Yet she still praised. She praised because she had faith that God saw her and loved her. She praised because she trusted that God was giving her a story. And as much as we love to tell stories, many of us struggle to feel like we truly have a story of our own, or that our story matters. We might find ourselves stuck in this situation that has made us feel unloved, unvalued, or without a purpose. It is so easy to get bogged down when we feel like when we're in this situation, nothing has changed. When our expectations and our hopes are not being met of how we should be redeemed, how we should get out of this situation, how we should get our story. Leah's story testifies to a Lord who does see us, who is present even in the messiest parts of our lives. Leah's faith teaches us to trust in God's love, to trust that the Lord is intervening in ways even better than our hopes and our expectations. Leah's faith teaches us to have a hope that God is giving each of us a story, and each one of those stories matters. For this reason, even though right now we might see it, we may not fully understand what God is doing, like Leah, we will trust the Lord and praise. Pray with me. Lord, we praise you today. As we gather on Mother's Day, you see us in all different situations. You see some of us today in joy and celebration. You see some of us today in lament, pain, or loneliness. You see some of us today feeling without value or purpose, without a story. Yet even in all these circumstances, we praise you, Lord. We praise you because you see us and are present. We praise you because you respond and intervene even in the messiest, most broken parts of our lives. We praise you for we know that you are giving each of us a story. And Lord, as you do, I pray that you give us faith like Leah, faith that recognizes that we are loved, that we are valued, that we are seen. I pray that you give us faith that trusts and understands that you have given each of us a purpose, a story that matters. And I pray that you give us patience as those stories both develop and unfold. Be with us today in both times of celebration and lament. And as always, let us be people of peace. Glory and honor be to you forever, Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from the Manhattan Church of Christ. We are located at 48 East 80th Street in New York City. To hear previous podcasts, visit our website at www.manhattanchurch.org.